The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and today is Friday, June 28th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day as we continue our series on keeping it real with Unique, right?
Good morning, Unique,
by the way.
How you doing?
Yes. Doing well. Keeping it real is a bi-weekly series where we have a conversation with Unique about her experiences being a woman, her experiences being a mother, her experiences dating, basically in the inner city, and then her opinions on certain stuff. Today we're talking about daddies. We're talking about daddies and how good inner city daddies are. And we are talking about some frustrations some daddies have dealing with women, right? Let's talk about your daddy first, Unique. How was it growing up with your daddy?
Well, my dad was a dad that was present in the home, but at the same time, he was not, because he had so much other things going on.
Like what?
His lifestyle, I guess. And the choices he made, so, yes, he had a lot of things going on. And even though he was in the home and he was still being a provider, I don't feel like he was doing his best because of the choices he made. So sometimes a dad is present, but they're not, you know, actually being the best parent, or they're not actually stepping up into properly taking care of their home and their children, and just not even basically just going the extra mile to make sure their family is well kept. I can't really say that was my dad 100%, but for the majority of the time, he was there in the home with us. And because of his lack, my mom had to work harder, deal with more, take on more. And at the end, when my mom passed away, he just left entirely, just left the scene. I guess it was easy for him to do because he was never really, you know, 100. It was my mom and the dad the majority of the times.
He was so when you say there. Left, you mean because he was living in the home and what, he just was absent, or he left completely?
He left out the home, and basically he left out of our lives, because even though he was still alive, you know, we couldn't depend on him, and he was just doing his own thing.
Okay. Is this something that you see often, or would you say that it's prevalent in the inner city, that there are a number of households where the man may be present, but not really present?
Yes, I see this often. If the dad feels like if he's just paying the bills, or if he's out working, you know, then he probably don't have to do nothing else, you know. And that leads to the mothers, you know, having to raise the kids by herself, having to take care of the home by herself. I mean, some men, they feel like if they paying all the bills and they're working to, you know, make sure the light is on, so to speak, they don't have to do anything else.
What else is there is to do?
You could help around the house. You could help with your kids. You can help in raising them.
That's woman's work.
You'll have a part in doing that.
That's why you call it paying the bills.
Wow. Well, paying the bills is not enough, because you can pay the bills, you know, by not even being in the home. Children need someone to actually show them and teach them, especially boys. They need that.
You had a child, you were very young.
Yes.
Right? I'm just going over the story. Your mother died when you were young, and you had to take care of the whole family. You had younger siblings, right? Your father left to whom, basically, and you became the mother, in quotes, of your home with extra support.
And the father.
And the father, and extra support of your family. And you had to go on the system and get support from there, right? But you also, for lack of better words, following a inner city narrative, became pregnant at a young age.
Right.
How was that baby daddy? Did he step up more than what your father did?
On a scale of 1 to 10, they're basically the same because...
What number is that? On a scale of 1 to 10, he's a 7?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'll say that my dad was a 7. And
7 is a good grade, no? 7 is not bad. 7 is average. 7 is something to brag about.
Why you can't be a 10?
Because 10 is hard.
10 is hard. But
10 is perfect.
But 10 is still achievable if you keep doing, if you keep trying, if you keep putting your best foot forward, if you keep praying, you know, if you choose other resources, like, come on.
But you say your father was a 7. I would call him a good daddy.
Okay. Because he wasn't your daddy.
Yeah. So, but you believe 7 is poor and he could improve.
Yes, he could have improved. 7 means improvement.
And so what would you call someone who's a 4 and a 6?
Oh, I would say he's not a man.
So let's talk about your baby daddy. He was a 7 to 8? 80% 8?
He probably was less than a 7. I don't even know right now because I don't think with that, you know, I passed that. But he didn't do much more than my father did. So,
what did you want your baby daddy to do?
I would have wanted him to just be there. Boats more than just sending me funds.
Okay, let's interrogate this now because to me you sounded like you're being unreasonable.
Okay.
He's sending you funds. Mm-hmm. What else you want, man?
Help with the child.
Help how?
You could help. You could take him on like I do. By him living with me, you can take him on sometimes.
Oh, you want him to come live with me?
No. You can take him on, like, you can take him out. You can come and take him out. You can introduce him to some things that I won't be able to, you know, being a mother and a woman. You could spend time with him so y'all could create a bond. Other than him just knowing that my daddy's paid the bills, that's it.
Hmm. In some inner cities, right? When couples separate, they have a child,
right?
Y'all women want us men to take on these responsibilities, pay the bills, and then y'all stop your part of the connection. And
that is?
Whatever the woman's job is. If my job is to pay the bills and mentor, your job is to facilitate things for me to make me be happy. And if you cut that off, surely I cut off.
That's what they are doing now.
And is but something wrong with that?
Okay, well, if our relationship have ended,
yes.
Why does the child have to suffer? That child did not ask to be here. That child is innocent in that part because that's our relationship. It's our decision to want to be together, and it was obviously our decision to end it. And it was obviously our decision to create another human being.
So we have,
just like, you know, if you have a business together, if you have a car together, even without being married, at the end of the relationship, you have to make a decision. Okay, what are we going to do with this car, with this business?
Unique, if we had a car together and we separated, there are times I can come and ask if I get a ride.
Not that.
I can't get a ride no more, and I pay the gas.
If we had a car together and we say we finish,
I need a ride.
We can either choose to sell the car and split the money. Because if you keep coming around me talking about you need a ride, making me feel like you're bothering me or you're, you know, harassing me or stalking me, I'm going to say take your car.
If August come, school is about to be open, and you said the child needs stuff, when I bring my money, I expect to make sure that there is an exchange of happiness.
Right.
All win. You win, the child win.
And that's bad because why? Because if we, now, I can't speak for everybody else, But I know of some people who would be like, that's my baby daddy. You know, we can always be going forever. You know, we have some ladies out there like that. And then we have some other ones that would be like, that's my baby daddy. He hurt me, you understand, but I still want him to be in my child life. I don't want nothing to do with him, but I still want him to be here for my child. So it ain't the same for everyone. And if a guy could, you know, come around you after y'all break up just because he do something for his child, and you could, you know, get motivated to go sleep with him or make him happy after that, like, how much you think he will respect you as a woman? Because when he don't have it, he ain't in the war. He's not going to be worried that you're going to get upset or that it's going to be a problem with you, because he know. He know how you go. He know the flow of things.
I see the problem. You believe men, women in general. I see where the problem is.
Yeah. They should, right?
Okay. So in your relationship with your baby daddy, before you are separated, right, or as you are separated, were you, I see the mic is louding. I can come and adjust that right now, actually. Take it off. You can take it off now. Were you faced with that at any point in time where your baby daddy say, hey, I know we separated, but if you want me to take care of this child, you would still have to be friendly with me?
Well, let me give you it straight. Like he told me, I could remember this. He said, if you leave me, I'm not going to take care of this child. So
he said that to you?
He said that to me.
So what you said to him?
I didn't say anything. I just left. I had to show him after that because... Who are you talking to? But yeah, he didn't for a long time. He didn't do anything, you know, for a long time.
And when you say a long time, what do you call a long time?
Probably like for 4 years.
4 years, he just cut you off.
Cut me off.
You and your child.
Just like that. And then after he came around, sent the funds through his sister. So.
But that's because he don't want you benefit.
Right. Why should you? He thought I was going to be benefiting.
Why
from
should
him.
You benefit from you separate from him though?
Benefit,
I understand he buy food for the child, but you shouldn't eat.
Well, at the end of the day, I am the one raising the child. So the only way I'm going to benefit is the help from you. I can take care of myself. I obviously was doing that before any of this. But what I'm saying is the mother needs support. So that's the only way she would benefit. The child have to get taken care of. When he wasn't there in the 4 years, that child was getting taken care of properly too. You know, with Otis help. So the only benefit the mother will have, unless she's a mother who doesn't care about her child or would take that money and do other things, the only benefit the mother would have is that support from the father.
And give you a scenario. I have a cousin, female cousin, mm-hmm. right? Her significant other had a child before they got together. So she was aware of the baby. Right?
Right.
And in fact, sometimes she makes sure that her significant other takes care of baby's responsibility. Say, no, that's your child. She's
that's
a good
right.
woman.
That's a good woman.
Right? Mm-hmm. But one time, her significant other baby's mother mm-hmm. car broke down.
Mm-hmm.
Her car broke down and she called her baby daddy and said, my car broke down. I need to have your car. They only had one car now. It's his car. And they share the car.
Wow.
And he took the car
uh-huh.
and gave it to the baby mother and basically had him and my cousin catch the bus. And I said, she need to put him out.
She said,
and he was saying, no, my child needs to get dropped back and forth.
So why they couldn't give her a ride? They had to give her the whole car?
They give her the whole car. I mean, he eventually get an SD for the family, right?
Right.
But she said that was too much. That was
yeah.
too much.
She was getting very comfortable. I guess it's because she, you know, she was, you know, getting properly supported.
Mm-hmm.
Because you said the girlfriend was, you know, in on it, making sure he do his part as a father. So I guess she was like, well, if they could do everything like that, they shouldn't have no problem giving me their car. But I wouldn't do that. I would just, you know, make sure she have a ride.
What if they had two cars and he had the car and the wife had the car? And he decided to give the car to the baby mother because her car stopped working.
Maybe that would have been more reasonable.
And how should the feel? that she
maybe it would be more reasonable after him and the wife discussed it, meaning that, you know, they agreed to do that. And that was them coming together saying, okay, we have a problem and this is how we're going to solve it. So.
Okay. The other woman, in terms of, I can put it in the scenario of wife, husband and wife,
mm-hmm.
right? And then the baby mother, right? The outside baby mother, right?
Right.
How close should the wife be with the baby mother?
Well, they could be friends, you know, if they're mature, respectful adults, they can probably be friends because, you know, when it comes down to taking care of kids, you know, you want to be on one level, especially if, you know, a certain party is going to be around your kids. So you would want to know who they are. You would want to be comfortable with them. And you would probably want to have a relationship with them.
You say respectful. Once they be respectful. How does a baby mother be respectful to the wife? Or what things she shouldn't do? Or what things she should do? Like if my child needs things, do I call up my baby daddy or do I go to the wife and say, hey, wife, my child needs some things. Remind your husband that to bring these things.
Well, in some scenario, maybe you and the husband, you know, don't see eye to eye, whereas y'all are not on speaking terms. So you may have to say, call the wife because, you know, she's a cool person and y'all respect each other. So you may have to call the wife and be like, could you tell so-and-so that, you know, the child needs whatever. But I mean, once it's respectful, you know, and once you're just, you know, you're coming in a good and decent manner for the child, because at the end of the day, the wife doesn't really have nothing to do with you and her husband, baby. But if she made herself a part of it and you're respectful and she's respectful, then y'all could talk. Y'all could have conversations and, you know, because when it's one. So whatever y'all speak about, it still would be translated to him.
I have another scenario. And I'm uneasy to say the scenario because the person might be listening because the person is a friend of mine. But I can say the scenario.
Okay.
We used to work together. Okay. We used to work together at a restaurant some years ago, right? And she remarried, right? And she had her husband lived with her, but her husband's a fisherman. And when I say a fisherman, he was a simple fisherman. So she was able to manhandle him, right? He couldn't read and write per se, but, you know, they was together. It was a good relationship.
Right.
It was a good relationship, right? And she paid all the bills and whatever it is, and he'd go fishing for 3, 4, 5, 6 months, and when he come back, he'd bring back thousands of dollars. But they got along, right?
Mm-hmm.
The woman, my fellow co-worker, right, had a baby daddy, right, who she was involved with when she was young. When I say it's young, she started off at 15, and he used to take care of her at 15, as she become woman, because she needed help and support, and this guy was older, right?
But he basically
groomed her and grew her up, so she felt indebted to him all her life. So boy, without him, I wouldn't be able to survive.
Wow.
Right? Similar scenario where your mother died early. Her mother died when she was 15 years old, and this gentleman came and take care of her, right? Groomed her.
Wow.
So fast forward the story. She is now 35,
mm-hmm.
married to this man.
The fisherman.
The fisherman has the baby or the child for this older gentleman, who is now about like 16-ish. And one day, the baby daddy came to the house.
Right.
And said that he was hungry for whatever reason. And she cooked. She cooked food for him and sat him at the dining table.
Right.
It was her daughter, and the baby daddy, the older baby daddy.
Mm-hmm.
But like I say, a husband is a fisherman. It happens that her husband came back from fishing early.
Wow.
And came home. Because we had a big discussion. We had a bus up at work too. Because I got vexed. I got vexed at it over the story.
Mm-hmm.
Where the husband came and said, what this man doing here? He's eating at my dining table.
Right.
Man. Mm-hmm. You can give him a plate of food.
Okay.
But he can't be sitting here at the dining table that I pay for. And of course, she insults him. You round over food? This man has done all these things for me over the years, and he asked for a plate of food, and I decided to have dinner with him and his daughter at my dining table. And you round over food? And of course, the husband got vexed, right? Break up some stuff when he gone. Actually, she put him out, actually. She put him out of the house when he paid for with the mortgage, whatever it is.
Wow.
She put him out. And she came to work looking for solace. And all the women there who was around her said, yes, he shouldn't be mad. You know, that's just a plate of food. And I, the only man there, they said, the devil's a liar. I was going to put you out. I was going to tell your man he can't come to my house no more. And I want to know your commentary on that, because I feel insulted as man. The audacity of woman.
Yeah.
To be dictating to us to say, well, that's just food. But there's some women who's doing that.
It is just food, but come on, like, no. And see, I can go back to where you said in the beginning. The guy, he's a little simple, and she basically is do everything. So she probably feel like she have more say than him, because she probably in stuff. Like, you know, she could do that. She could bring a man into her home, and he could sit to the table where her husband bought, and he can eat a meal with her. You understand? And I feel like she might have had the right intentions, but she carried it out wrong. Because I could give you a plate of food, and you could have sit on my porch with your daughter alone without me, and you could enjoy that meal. Okay? Because I would tell you straight up, I love and respect my husband. And other than that, I have to worry about my salvation as a wife and a woman, because, you know, you get married to your husband and you believe that you did the right thing because this is what God ordained humans to do. So you don't just have to answer to your husband. You also have to answer to God for your actions. So that's why I say I'm worried more about my salvation, because no, I'm not going to disrespect my husband like that. You understand? Because when I disrespect my husband, I disrespect my marriage and God. So that man who know me from all them years would have to know that, one, I grow up, and two, you know, I have order for my kids and for my husband and obviously for my home. So I give her wrong for that. You understand? Because I always giving people food. And sometimes they might be, you know, friends from the past. People who I show.
Friends
from the past. Like, it's not that I call them male friends. Say somebody, you know, driving through my corner or on a Sunday or any other day, and they may come to hail me and I'm cooking or I'm, you know, serving food or I just have food. You know, that's just the human being in me to say, offer them a plate of food, offer them a cup of water. And I will give them that, but I'm not going to sit down and, no, I'm not going to give you the wrong idea. You understand? Because I want you to know exactly what place you have in my life. So I give a wrong for that. And yes, he was there for you. Yes, he helped you all them years. But in actuality, you know, it was God who allowed him to do all of that. And it was God who allowed you to, you know, pass that stage and get married and get that so far in life. So yeah, she, I think she loved that man a little bit more than she should. And that was wrong on her behalf, as a wife and as a woman.
Can a man, husband, friends with an ex-girlfriend, ex-wife?
Oh, man. Wow.
Would you want your husband?
Wow.
Your significant other, be friends with his ex lover?
Well, different circumstances creates different results, right? So according to the relationship, according to if they have children together, you know, different circumstances. I don't want them to be close friends, because I'm your only closest friend, you know? I'm your best friend as your wife. So you can't have nobody closer than me, but at the same time, I would expect y'all to have a, you know, a cordial civil relationship, even if it's not, even if y'all don't, you know, have children, or even if it's not like, or when we see each other, you know, we say hi, or, you know, I call her up sometimes, or he call me up sometimes. I don't mind Because, you know, sometimes you might hear about somebody, family member passing away. Your mind might run across them. You may have a bad dream, but them, like, I don't mind none of that. But, like, be respectful. What type of relationship? Because if y'all done, y'all done. Y'all shouldn't be worried about what's going on in each other's lives.
So I could text her old girlfriend. What you saying? How you doing today?
What you texting her for? You have somebody in the family dead?
I just try to make sure she's straight.
No. That ain't what I'm saying.
What you saying?
What I'm saying is, things that happen in life. You may hear something happened to somebody in their family, their mother, their father. You may hear something happen to them. You understand? Out of being human and just out of natural concern. Yeah. Or you, it may be like a time they may run across your mind, or you may have a bad dream about them. Whatever. Fine. But you don't need to know what's going on in my everyday life. If we done, we done. Okay? My closest friend is my wife, and that's that.
One time, my wife had a friend from college.
Right.
They live in Europe. And they came to the Bahamas, or was passing through the Bahamas on a business trip, and said, he basically said, hey, let me take you out for dinner. She came to me and said, husband, oh, my friend from university is coming to the Bahamas and he wants to take me out to dinner on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So my response is, so what time do I need to be dressed?
Thank you.
I think he's taking us out.
He's taking us out.
Clearly.
Okay, because that's it. Because
I don't know.
Because you know I'm married and I come with something. Okay? We's one now. So you can never ask me to take me out. Yeah. Hi, hello, excuse me?
Yeah.
Take me out.
Okay. You want? I have one girlfriend coming from college next week. I'm going to see if my wife could let me take her out, or we all going.
Y'all all going.
We all going.
Because if y'all ain't all going, you ain't going.
I ain't going, boy. You sound like my wife. We have a telephone call right there, producer Patrick, for calling through. Let me get, use this one here.
Nuri.
1 minute for me as we get the mic thing. Can you hear?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Nuri.
This is me.
Hello?
I'm here. Go ahead.
That example you use with the fisherman, ain't happening, homie.
It ain't happening?
It's not going to happen in my house.
What would you have done?
Because him, that ain't going to happen with him. If I meet anyone sitting to my table, eating, and I authorize that yet, I don't care if that's your pastor, if that's the policy man, that's your baby face, daddy. Ain't happening there. And don't tell me God tell you do it, because God is not the order of confusion.
That's right.
You ain't gonna bring the confusion in my house. That matter will be settled right there.
So
finish with that.
Was it about the food or that?
I just tell you, I don't care if you, that's your baby face, daddy. That's your pastor. That's the policy man. And you give him a plate of food. Ain't gonna happen. God is not the order of confusion. Everything must be done in decency and order. And that's it. Settle it.
I appreciate you, Carla. It's about the food. You can't be feeding no other man. He ain't talking about no dinner table. You can't be feeding no other man. But he also mentioned the pastor. Mm. In the inner city, there are a number of sanctified women who have been saved later on in life. They have one or two children, whatever it is, right? And they got saved later on in life and they get married. But when they cook a plate of food for their pastor. They stay at church till 10 o'clock at night, right? And say their husband got to take care of themselves until they come home, because they saved now. God is with them, right? What you think about feeding the pastor? I ain't saying untoward going on. I'm not, pastor's a real safe man, right? And the woman's a real safe woman. Let's make sure I make that clear.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit come to them and say, pastor could need some food.
That's why the pastor's supposed to be married.
The pastor married too.
Okay. Well, I don't mind feeding anybody, but I have a husband and I have wifely duty. It's like, where I go in, till 10 o'clock in the night to church from when 11 o'clock in the morning, and I have my own husband at home to deal with. You understand? And at the end of the day, I don't go to church for the pastor. I go to church to hear the word. In the beginning, it was the word, and the word is God. I know. So I respect my pastor. I love the job that the pastors do, but I'm never going to make my husband feel like he is second to any man.
You ever feed the pastor? You ever set him on a plate of food?
Not directly, but I cook a lot of times for churches that I attend to. And
then the pastor get to eat.
Yeah, but not me just saying I intentionally going to take food to the pastor, no.
And if you're taking food to the pastor, should you carry enough for the pastor's wife too?
For the pastor children? My God, like, yeah. So if a woman taking food to her pastor and her pastor only, and he have a wife and a family and probably other members, like, come on, like, that's obvious. She, you know, is infatuated with the pastor.
I have another phone call there. Let's patch the caller through. Go ahead, producer. Patch the caller through. Go ahead, caller.
Very good day. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good day to you, guest. Marriage is something that calls for a level of maturity that adults are not willing to come to. Okay? First and foremost, if I came home in a situation like that, yeah, fine. There's another man sitting at my table along with his child.
Have mercy.
You know, but here is where my problem comes in. When my wife decides to disrespect me for this man, all right, that's where my problem comes in. I don't mind it, you know, happening because, you know, like I said, marriage calls for a level they're not willing to come to. But when my wife decides to disrespect me and carry on in that manner, for another man who was in her life former, you know, that's where my problem step in. Now, you, the man, and your child got to go together.
All at one time.
And you ain't gonna put me out of my house. You understand what I pay in all of the bills in? You need to go get your things, and I will stand at the door and wait for you, the man, and your child to leave. Okay? But, you know, on the other hand, had she respected me as a man, had she said, honey, you know, this is the situation, this is the case, and this is what result from it, you know, I apologize, no disrespect to you. You know, that's different. I could work with her on a different level there.
You're still different from me. Because it still couldn't happen in my house. If you see she feeding, no, I going to get my plate and taking my plate from him and say, boss, you got to leave. Because it can't happen. It can't happen. I don't care if he's hungry. Give him the $6 and tell him to go to Bamboo Shack. But you can't eat my food. My food is my food.
I started with marriage call for a level of maturity that we as human are not willing to come to. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have another caller there. Producer, pass the caller through for me. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller, you're on live. Caller, girl, once.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
Listen, Yuri, I have two comments I want to make on this.
Go ahead.
You never disrespect the marital home, and I end with this. You can't paint a picture and tell someone how to look at it. Have a great day.
That's profound. We have one more caller before you go, Unique. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello, you're live.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Nuri and your guests. This is an interesting topic this morning. My experience personally, my wife came home from church around 10 something in the evening.
At night?
She did what she had to do to get a snack or something. Came to the bed, lie down, raise up, and said, so-and-so, the pastor got more authority over the wife than the husband. And I laugh so hard. Oh. And every time she asks me, what you laughing at? I go into second gear. And she asked me, what you laughing at? I laugh in the third gear, tell my stomach muscles hurt.
Mm.
And I said to her, listen, I was telling you for 25 years, when sisters like external authority in the man house. I say, that is not biblical. So I said to her, show me that in the Bible. She got up, got the Bible, and she turning, telling me she ain't see it. I said, give me this Bible, because it's not here. I turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, somewhere around there, 18, and said, obey those that have the rule over you, for they watch it over your soul to present you unto Christ as a chaste virgin for the kingdom. Yeah, that's it. I say, stop talking foolishness. That pastor, general overseer, or bishop, or elder, or evangelist, or apostle, that's their responsibility in the organization. For every calendar event of the year, they must call in every member of the board, whether it's elders, ministers, deacons, ushers, the transportation, etc., and see how that department is functioning so they could make sure that there's a smooth running of the church. And I was so surprised. And I wonder what you or your guests think about that.
I'll let my guests comment. Go ahead, Unique.
Well, that's a lot. She probably lose respect for you for a long while.
Mm.
And now she probably just have the courage to say, hey, and I guess she chooses to use God or the word of God for a reason why. But, you know, everybody is say they know God and say they know the word, but people have their own definitions of certain things. And that is a tough one, because if she feels that her pastor is supposed to have more authority over her than her husband, then what type of marriage did she even think she was getting into? Because I think a marriage is between the husband and the wife only, right?
Yeah.
So she probably had the wrong idea from the jump. And if she didn't never address reasons why, you know, she was doing certain things, now you know. And y'all just need a lot of help. And if y'all choose to, you know, fight and be together, just trust that if you take it to God, he will, you know, bring y'all through it. Because marriage is ordained by God, something that all of God's children are supposed to do.
Let me ask you this, Unique. Is there such a thing as a woman going to, even a man, going to church too much? Like spending too much time in church?
Man, if you want, if you like church that much, take your husband with you. Take your wife with you.
I won't go. I won't be home and watch TV.
Okay, but we can watch church home.
What, you can change the channel?
Yep.
Looks like you need to
see, because I like church. See, if I like church, I like church. It don't matter where I go. So if I have to go into an actual building to say, you know, I go in to go to church, that means I go into church to go into that actual building to be around those people. If I just love church and in love with the word and in love with receiving, I can have church anywhere.
I'll ask you another question. A man marries a woman, but she had 1, 2 children already, right?
Right.
Of course, as a man, I have to bring my wife and her children under my security, under my home. And the children now becomes mine, right? But if we have a child, I have the 2 stepchildren,
mm-hmm.
Now my child with her. Surely I can't be given, when I say given my love, I'm talking about like extra monies and insurance and gifts to my stepchildren as much as I give to my real children. My real children is mine. That means that everything is inside the house is belong to that child. And of course, if anything leave over, the stepchildren can get some of that.
That's wrong.
What do you mean that's wrong?
I feel like that's wrong. Because after you and that lady decided to become one, like everything is yours. Whatever is yours is hers, and whatever is hers is yours, okay?
Yeah, okay?
So the children should be on the same level of love, of, you know, treatment. Sense. Yes, that makes sense. Yes, because why would you make a child feel like they don't qualify or because they are not your blood,
they shouldn't have the same? Use my stepchild. You ain't the legitimate one.
That's
right. But you can get the stepchild version, but you can't get the legitimate version.
Wow. But you married his mother. You know, you married his mother and you committed to taking care of her and being responsible over her. And so that child automatically supposed to become yours, even without adoption. It's supposed to automatically become yours and your responsibility. So if you could, you know, take care of your kids on a certain level and the other kids are under you now, you should be able to do the same. And if you're not able to take care of everybody on the same level, then you should wait until you can, or at least do as much as you can equally for everybody in the meantime.
I can ask that question a different way, by going to the callers first.
Mm-hmm.
And I can reverse that question. I want to hear what you can say next. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Yeah, you have a good show. Good morning to your guest. You is a good woman, man. She's a good woman. I do remember a story, one of my ex, I break up because she was possessed over her pastor. I mean, everything she do for her pastor, bring the shakes on Sunday, iron up the shakes and all that. I say, why your pastor got to do that? You have a wife. And why are you whining about that? Why are you whining about that? I say, dying good. That even not biblical. And I break up all that because I find out the woman was possessed. A Bible-believing pastor, that's a Bible-believing pastor, would not be doing that. But no, you got a good show. He's a good woman. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. You see, there seems to be a number of people concerned about their pastor and their wife and what all the wife is doing. It's an endemic thing happening inside the Bahamas. It's a real concern. But I got to ask my question soon, but we have a couple callers I want to make sure to get to say their piece. Okay. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller, Grand Wand.
Listen, Uri.
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yes. I just tuned into your conversation, but I am assuming based on your latter comment with regards to the stepchildren, that's where I picked up on the conversation, missionary, that you're being the devil's advocate, right?
I ain't sure yet, because I'm going to ask the next question.
This is not your true and legitimate thinking, behavior, or position if you find yourself in a situation like
that. I can never find myself in that position.
Because, boy, look. If any woman marry, this all comes, and this is like an endemic problem in our country, and unfortunately, women allow for their children to be treated that way, and it almost appears as though women make provisions for their children to be treated that way, just to hold on to a relationship, and in some instances. It also appears that men make provisions and allow their children that they would have come to the relationship with, which is absolute nonsense. Even looking beyond that, any responsible male, adult male or female, would not have that kind of a mindset in the first place. Because if you are going to take in and take on the responsibility through a marriage of a woman who comes with child or children, or a man who comes with child or children, but then by all means, your natural nature, responsible and responsive nature, should be to provide covering for the entire family. And where there's a lacking, then you ought to have seen those signs long before you allowed yourself to engage in a marriage and make your exit, because that would be completely unacceptable under any circumstance.
Okay.
Except you are prepared to live in an abusive situation. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, man, definitely. Let's speak through these callers now. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead. I can hear you.
Yes, I appreciate your response and your guest's response. I just want to add to that this is a wife of 36 years, and she been gone 4 years. I just want to put that in there.
Okay, let's go to the next caller, producer. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Call going once, call going twice, I call and get through. So I can let I was able to ask my question before we leave.
Okay.
Now, I had children before I married you, with my first wife, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm married to my new wife and we have children, mm-hmm. right? Now, the wife wants to send my child, when we have together, to private school.
Mm-hmm.
But my other children with the first wife can't go to private school, right? Because now the money stiff. My question is, do I tell my current wife, well, I can't send my child to private school because the money got to split between my first set of children and this set of children? That means that if one can't go to private school, the second can't go to private school if one set. What do I do then?
Okay, that is a little tough situation.
That's the same thing you say, treat them equal.
That's a little tough, but it's you and your wife. So it may be hard for you to do it alone. You understand? Because you have to think about your other kids as well. But if you and your wife could do it, and probably the baby mother could step in, then y'all could work something out.
Mm.
You understand? Because at the end of the day, all the kids want, you know, want to have the same benefits. All want to feel, you know, love and appreciated and, you know, just
so the
like
child,
they have
the
opportunity.
You're saying the child in the home ain't have more rights, have more sacred. Not say the outside children. The other seven children, them get the same benefits, but they married now and have the children home.
But all is your kids. All.
All is my kids, eh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And say so the step children is going to be equal to my real children?
Everybody all is your kids.
The step children too?
All is your kids.
So what if my stepchildren getting more stuff than my children I have with the next woman? Surely something's wrong there, eh?
If your stepkids is getting more from you?
Yeah, because it's in my household. I taking care of my household, so they getting benefits of the household. But I had kids earlier. Surely I have a duty of care to take care of them more than my stepchildren.
No, like I'm saying, like you should equally take care of all of your kids, whether they are before these ones or they was from a past relationship. All have to be taken care of properly. All may not need the same things at the same time, but you have to try your best to be there for all. That's all.
I can try and squeeze this last caller in because we got to go. Producer's Patrick's caller, let me squeeze him in. 30 seconds. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Louis.
Make it quick. Gotta go.
Yeah, listen, I just called you, Nurida. I forget your number and I'm trying to call you, man. What the 565.
01 01 45 45. Yes.
565 0145.
That's me.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, man. But thank you very much, Unique. Yes. So next 2 weeks we have you continuing our series where we do some interrogation, introspection about relationships, inner city, growing up. Listen about how you grew up in general. But we gotta go now. It's 12 o'clock. Have a wonderful day.